This morning, as I looked at the lectionary, our Old Testament options were varied, but I looked at the passages from Proverbs. Proverbs, the book of wisdom, and these seemed like especially wise sayings to me. So this morning I'm going to share with you out of Proverbs 22, verses 1 and 2, then verses 8 and 9, and then verses 22 and 23. A good name is more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed is better than silver or gold. Rich and poor have this in common. The Lord is the maker of them all. He who sows wickedness reaps trouble, and the rod of his fury will be destroyed. A generous man will himself be blessed, for he shares his food with the poor. Do not exploit the poor because they are poor, and do not crush the needy in court, for the Lord will take up their case and will plunder those who plunder them. This is the word of the Lord. Now, as we prepare to hear God's word proclaimed, let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you for your presence with us this morning. As we prepare to hear your word, and as we prepare to share your table, we pray that you will indeed be with us through the power of your Spirit, that you will inspire us. And we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Our New Testament reading this morning comes from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. This is the Apostle Paul writing to his protege, Timothy. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, according to the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve, as my forefathers did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you, so that I may be filled with joy. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me, his prisoner. But join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That is why I am suffering as I am. Yet I am not ashamed, because I know whom I have believed and am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him for that day. What you heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching, with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. This is the word of the Lord. Well, as we enter into this new church year, as we approach the fall of the year, it's a special time. You know, I always used to look at the fall as a time of conclusion in many ways, having grown up on a farm. The crops were in. We had planted the winter wheat crop. It was time to rest. But I find being a pastor, it's just the opposite. We take the summer off. We take vacations in the summer. We do other things. Church is no longer our primary focus. And then the fall arrives, and we enter into a new church year, a new time of renewal, a time of activity, a time when we are called to live a holy life. And I am especially remembering this fall of the year, in that it will be this coming week that I will have been here 3 years as your pastor. It has been an amazing 3 years, and how quickly time does indeed pass. But I was recalling, as I was preparing to make my journey to Floyd, and preparing to leave the life that I had known for so many years behind, and to make this journey as God was calling me to serve this congregation in a new community, in a new part of the country. And I remember how excited I was that God had actually seen fit to call me to serve such a wonderful congregation. Well, as I read this passage today from Paul's second letter to Timothy, I wish I had had a Paul in my life to encourage me for the future and to remind me of the roots of my faith, which also came from my mother and grandmother. How inspiring it would have been to have known someone who had suffered and sacrificed for the glory of God. But then, of course, as I realized 3 years ago, and as I realize today, I do have that someone in my life. It is the Spirit of Jesus Christ himself, the one who gives us the inspiration we need to be bold in our faith. When Paul wrote this letter to Timothy, he was sitting in prison in Rome. And this is the second imprisonment there. And unlike his first, where Paul had been under house arrest and was able to have visitors, Paul is now imprisoned at the hands of the Roman Emperor Nero, who was a brutal and vicious man. Nero persecuted Christians, and Paul was in a dungeon-like cell, literally in chains. He knew he would never have physical freedom again. And so he relied on the only freedom that was available to him, and that is his freedom in Christ. He wanted to ensure that young Timothy would now take his passion for serving Jesus and that he would carry his faith forward into the new world at hand. Paul was passing the torch to Timothy, and he was passing it with the love of a father to a son. You might say that Paul treasures Timothy's tears. Did you hear what he said in his letter? He said, "Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also." So you see, Paul, who knew that he would never get out of prison alive, was passing the torch to Timothy, just as Timothy's grandmother had passed it to her daughter Eunice, and who had passed it on to Timothy as well. Timothy's tears suggest a bond of love and friendship. Paul's own tears surely were filled with memories of 3 generations of faithful followers of Jesus. But what are those memories? Did Lois and Eunice convene a church to meet in their home? Did they risk their own safety to be loyal to Jesus? Did they lose something or someone they treasured because of their faith? Does Paul remember a specific word of encouragement, a prayer of blessing, or a gift of support for his work? We don't know for sure, but we know that they passed their faithfulness on to Timothy, who is now taking on the heavy responsibility of continuing Paul's ministry. Paul says to Timothy, "For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and self-discipline. So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, but join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God." Now, the gift of God that Paul alludes to here surely is his faith. Faith is the great treasure passed on like a family heirloom, and it must continue to be passed from generation to generation. Paul was preparing not only Timothy for the work to be done, but he was preparing all of us as well. We too have inherited the gift of God, the gift of faith, and we cannot afford to be timid. There is an urgency in Paul's message. We know from Romans 1, verse 14, that Paul told the Roman church, "I have a duty to all people." He had something for them, a message. He'd been entrusted as a courier with a divine message. And in Romans 1, 16, he wrote, "I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes." Paul existed to deliver that message, and how people remembered him personally was not important. Paul's message was not about himself, but rather it was about Christ. He hoped he had prepared Timothy well to carry on this dedication of the message of Jesus. He hoped that the gift of faith would keep him true to the holy life to which he was called. Paul said, "What you heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching, with faith and love in Christ Jesus." Now, on this Sunday, when we will celebrate the Lord's Supper, the knowledge that God chooses us outside of our own capacities awakens another kind of knowledge in our hearts. The fact that God chose us by his grace before we were capable of choosing for ourselves is a reason for celebration and remembrance. If we understand ourselves as God's servants, called by grace to do this work of receiving faith and passing it on, we can also understand this, that there will be bread for the journey. As Christians, we are gathering around the table of our Lord. We are a part of the universal church of Jesus Christ. In nearly every language that is spoken upon the earth, people are reminded that God welcomes us to this table and sets before us the elements of his grace. So, friends, the Spirit of Christ is present here this morning. He encourages us to open our hands like eager children so that we may receive the bread of life. The mysterious gift of faith, the treasure passed on through countless generations, make us welcome at the Lord's table. And you are welcome, sisters and brothers, visitors, friends, strangers, travelers. Along with countless people throughout the world, we are invited to receive the bread of life and the cup of salvation. So with open hands and hearts, we are welcome to receive God's grace through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us now come to the Lord's table. Through the waters of baptism, we are born into Christ's family. That family is nourished and sustained at this table. And though we are baptized but once, in the Lord's Supper, we reaffirm our commitment to Christ, and God renews us with grace. This is the joyful feast of the people of God. According to Luke, when our risen Lord was at table with his disciples, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. This is the Lord's table. Our Savior invites those who trust him to share the feast he has prepared. Let us now give thanks. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Almighty Father, creator of all things and source of every blessing, by your power and wisdom you brought the universe into being and created us in your image. You called us to serve you. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with choirs of angels and with all the faithful of every time and place. We join in giving you praise.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
God of glory, you are holy, and blessed is Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, whom you sent out of love for the world to be our Savior. By the power of the Holy Spirit, Christ was born as one of us. By his death, Christ delivered us from our sins, reconciling us to you. And risen from the tomb, he gives us new and abundant life so that we live in him and declare,
Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again.
Almighty God, we come humbly before your throne. All glory is yours, now and forever. Amen. On the night when he was betrayed, Jesus was seated at table with his disciples. He took bread, and after giving thanks, he broke it, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you proclaim Christ's death until he comes again." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we do pray that you will pour out your Spirit upon these your gifts, the gifts of bread and the cup. We pray that the Holy Spirit will inspire us, that we will be called to a life that is holy. We pray, Lord, that you will bless us this morning, that we will sense your presence as we partake of these elements. We praise you, Lord, and we thank you for your grace. We pray in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. Friends, this morning we will be serving the Lord's Supper by intinction. So come forward as you're able. Take a piece of bread and dip it in the cup. And remember the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ.
If anyone is not able to come forward, remain seated, and we will serve you in your pew. This is the feast of the Lord. It is open to all who believe.
Thank you.
Let us pray. O Lord, though you were rich, for our sakes you became poor. You have promised in your gospel that whatever is done to the least, you will receive as done to you. Give us grace, we humbly ask you, to be ever willing and ready to minister as you enable us to the necessities of our brothers and sisters, and to extend the blessings of your kingdom over all the world to your praise and glory. This morning, Lord, we thank you for the privilege of worshiping you in a free land. And Lord, we thank you for the many blessings that we do enjoy. Lord, this morning we have a heavy heart as we remember Susie. We pray for your blessing upon her. And we pray, Lord, that she will feel your presence, that she will be at peace, that she will be comforted. And we pray for her family, Lord, as they prepare for the future without her presence here on earth. We thank you, Lord, and we praise you. And also, Lord, we lift to you Janet Allen Chin. She too, Lord, needs your comfort and your grace. We pray for her family. We pray that she too will be comforted and that she will feel your blessing. And for all of us, Lord, as we enter into a new church year, we pray for your church, not only this church in this community, but your church throughout the world. We pray that we will indeed be inspired by the Spirit and that we will be committed to sharing the true gospel to those who need to hear your word, those who need to hear of your love, who need to hear of compassion and humility, and Lord, especially those who need to hear of salvation. So we praise you and we thank you in the name of Christ our Lord, who taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us now respond to God's word by returning our gifts to him.